Well, today we're closing our series, wrapping it up, game plan. It's strategies for winning relationships. And so I thought in honor of closing out the series that I would put on my old high school Letterman jacket. Yeah, I haven't worn this in probably 30 years. I do remember it being a little bigger, but I don't know. The thing about a Letterman jacket, you don't have to be the superstar athlete to get one of these. In fact, these little bars that you see on this jacket basically just tell you that I completed the season, that I finished what I started. I played the long game. And that's exactly how we want to finish our series today, is talking about the long game. How many of you know that it's easier to start something than to finish it? Getting that gym membership? Anybody can do that. Being there 6 months later, that's the long game. Starting that Bible reading plan to go through the year, and then you get to Leviticus like I did this week, that's the long game. Anyone can say, I do. But sticking it out when it gets messy and it gets hard and you don't feel it and everything in you wants to just throw in the towel, that's the long game. Saying yes to following Jesus. Anyone can say yes, but following Jesus moment by moment, that's the long game. You see, great relationships, they're not built in these occasional big moments in life. Relationships are built on those small, everyday, the little choices, the little decisions that we make day after day after day to remain faithful, even when we want to give up. So what does that look like? What does it look like to play the long game? Alicia and I, we will be celebrating this June 27 years of marriage. So thank you. Yeah, I'm quite proud of that. We made it, almost 27 years. But I'm thinking that some of you may be way ahead of us. In fact, I'm curious, if you've celebrated your 50th anniversary, even if your spouse is no longer with us, if you've celebrated your 50th anniversary, would you stand so that we could honor you? All right, come on. Yeah. All right. Years. God bless you. Thank you for letting us honor you. I just wanted to know that it was possible. Hashtag relationship goals. I mean, sometimes we do. And by the way, these are the folks who just stood. They're the ones who can tell you about the long game of love. They can tell you what it takes. And it gives me hope for the rest of us that we can continue to walk in faithfulness, even when we may feel like giving up, that we can still continue to remain faithful. Did you know that the longest living, I saw this just in an article, it came out just yesterday, Guinness Book of World Records, the longest living marriage. Anyone want to take a guess how many years? 70? 80? 90? Okay, I'll tell you. 84 years, and as of today, because the article just came out yesterday, 86 days. 84 years and 86 days. It's a couple who lives in Brazil. And Manuel and Maria, he's 105, she's 101. Yeah. So they asked Maria, what's the secret to such a long marriage? And she simply said, love. And then this 101-year-old lady went on to say, and that's something that not even the most advanced supercomputer could ever calculate. I mean, just think about all the technology and all the advancements in our world. And she's saying, it's a mystery. No one can explain the mystery of love. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn to Ruth chapter 1, because we're going to be looking in the text today in the book of Ruth, which is one of the greatest long game love stories in all of Scripture. And it may not be exactly what you think, because it's not just some fairy tale romance. It's one woman who's refusing to give up on someone that she loves. So here's a little bit of the background, a little bit of the setup. Naomi has lost her husband, and she's lost her, not one son, but both of her sons. So she lost her husband and both of her sons. That means there's no one left to take care of Naomi. So she's got to figure something out. She even, the scripture tells us that she wanted to change her name because she was so bitter and so broken. So she tells her two daughter-in-laws, Ruth and Orpah, that they need to go back home. They need to find a better future. She says, there's nothing for you here. I have nothing to offer you anymore. You need to go back home and try to find your own life. But Ruth, one of her daughter-in-laws, refuses to leave her side. Ruth could have left. And it actually would have been easier had she done that. I mean, she could have remarried. She's actually a Moabite. They're in Moab, and she's a Moabite in her homeland. She could have found another husband. It would have been easier. No one would have blamed her for doing that. But instead, she makes one of the greatest long game declarations of love in all of the Bible. Here's what she says to Naomi: "Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God." This is long game love. This is what we're going to call today covenant love. And covenant love is very different than contract love. Contract love says, I'm in it as long as it works for me. I'm in it as long as I'm getting something out of it. You guys, you're familiar with contracts. Anyone ever had to sign a contract for a car or a home? It's like you're in there all day signing gazillions of pages, you know? Well, guess what? All of that fine print in there, that's to protect them, not you. That's what a contract does. But covenant love is different. Covenant love says, I am in this relationship because of what I can give, not what I can get. Contract love says, I'm in this relationship as long as I feel like it. As long as I feel like I'm still in love, then I'm in for it. But covenant love says, I am in this relationship even when the feelings fade, even when it's hard, even when it's messy, even when it would be easier to walk away. I'm not giving up. That's covenant love. That's long game love. So, as we look in this text today, we want to look at three truths. Three truths about playing the long game in love. And number one, love stays when it's easier to walk away. It would have been so much easier for Ruth to have just walked away. Again, she's a Moabite. She could have just returned. And for her to stay with Naomi meant for her to leave behind her family, her friends, her culture, her religion, her Moabite gods. She was leaving everything behind to be able to stay with Naomi. It would have been so much easier. But here's the thing about love. Love proves itself in the hard times. It's easy to love in the easy times. But love proves itself in the hard times. And let's be honest, sometimes we make relationships just harder than they should be. I love this quote from Ben Franklin. He once said this: before marriage, keep your eyes wide open. Afterward, half shut. That's the married people laughing, because you know what this is talking about. Before you get married, you just think they're the greatest thing ever. I mean, they're perfect. He's perfect. She's an angel. They're a gift from God himself. And then just 3 months into the marriage, you're like, why does she chew like that? Or she's like, does he even know where the dirty clothes hamper is? Like, it's right here. He must know the general vicinity because he takes his dirty clothes and puts them right by the hamper instead of in the hamper. Not that I would ever do that. Or how about this one? Is it physically impossible for him to just put the roll of toilet paper on the dispenser instead of just sitting it right on top? But here's the thing about relationships. And those of you who've been in relationships for a long time, you know this is true. But here's what happens. Those small things become big things, and the big things become bigger things. Whatever you choose to focus on in a relationship just gets bigger. So if you focus on someone's flaws, those flaws are going to begin to seem massive. But if instead you choose to focus on love and grace and gratitude, then those are the things that are going to grow in that relationship instead. The Apostle Peter, he wrote this in 1 Peter 4:8. He's writing to a church that's been scattered, they've been persecuted, they're fearful, and he is imploring the church to love one another deeply. And he says this, love covers over a multitude of sins. You see, this has to do with what it is that you choose to focus on. Now, what Peter's not saying is that love ignores sin. We know that could never be true because love did not ignore sin when Jesus Christ hung upon a cross to pay the price for our sins. So love can never ignore sin, but it can cover it with grace. With grace and gratitude, grace instead of condemnation. It depends on what we focus on. Relationships are hard, but let's not make them harder than they have to be. Grace gives love the power to stay when it would be easier to walk away. The second thing, the second truth about the long game in love, love gives when it gets nothing back. Ruth had very little to give Naomi, and Naomi had even less to give back to Ruth. Yet they remain loyal to one another. They sacrifice for one another. And I wonder if some of you today, you find yourself in a season, you find yourself in a relationship where you're giving and giving and giving, and currently you're not getting anything back. And that can leave someone feeling unnoticed, unseen, unappreciated, unloved. So if that's where you are, friend, I want you to know today that God sees you. God, he rewards faithfulness. Even if nobody else sees it, he sees it. In fact, Ruth would meet a man named Boaz, and Boaz would notice Ruth's sacrifice and her loyalty. He would notice all the things that she had sacrificed for Naomi's behalf. And even though he noticed, he reminds Ruth that God had seen her all along. Look at this. May the Lord, this is Boaz speaking to Ruth, may the Lord repay you for what you've done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Somebody needs this reminder today. You have not been forgotten. You're not unseen. The God who sees you is the God who repays. He's the God who rewards. He is the God who is your refuge. So when you find yourself in that place, when you're the one giving and you're not getting anything back, God is your refuge. And for some of you, it's not so much giving and getting. It really comes down to this. And I don't know who maybe need to hear this, but it's really more about trusting and forgiving. Because some of you have been deeply hurt in your relationships. And you've withheld forgiveness because you equated that with just jumping right back in and fully trusting immediately. And you're like, well, I can't trust. I can't just jump back into that, so I'm not going to forgive. Listen, forgiveness and trust are two different things. Forgiveness is your path back. And we might say it like this. Forgiveness is immediate, but trust is rebuilt over time. So allow that time to take place. Scripture does not call us to just jump right back in and trust immediately. I mean, depending on the severity of the offense and what's happened, that might not be possible. But Scripture does command us to forgive immediately. Forgiveness is possible even when trust, full trust, is not. So I want to encourage you to forgive very quickly. If we don't, it's like the old saying, it's like drinking poison, hoping the other person will die. Don't withhold forgiveness. And if you're the person who's broken trust, don't say to the other person, well, you forgave me, just trust me again. Don't do that. Understand that trust is rebuilt over time. So what do you do in the meantime? Well, you give. Even when you're not getting anything back, it is your turn in that covenant love to just be committed to covenant love on a daily basis, even when you're not getting something back, and let trust be rebuilt over time. Forgiveness is immediate, but trust is rebuilt over time. Here's the third truth about the long game in love. Love trust when the future's unclear. Can you imagine just how unclear the future was for Ruth? She had no idea what was going to happen to her. She just knew she was going to stay by Naomi's side, but she's a Moabite, and she's headed with Naomi back to Israel. Moabites don't like Israelites. Israelites don't like Moabites. She's leaving behind everything she had ever known. The future was so unclear for her. She had no idea the story that God was about to write in her life. All she could see in the moment was pain. And all she could see in the moment was sacrifice. And all she could see in the moment was just the fog of suffering. But God was writing a story through her faithfulness. Look at this. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. The Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. A few verses later, we find out, and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse and the father of David. David, the one who slew the giant. David, the one who would become king of Israel. She could never have imagined what God was doing through her story. She could have never imagined that she would have a husband again, much less Boaz, who was able, he was her, as Scripture says, her kinsman redeemer, someone who could protect her, someone who would protect her, someone who would show her once again covenant love. She couldn't have foreseen that, and she couldn't have foreseen that she was ever going to have a child, but she does. His name is Obed, and she could have never seen that she was going to have a grandson named Jesse and a great-grandson named David. And get this, when you look at the family, when you follow the family tree to Jesus, guess who's in it? Ruth. She is in the lineage of Jesus Christ himself. She could have never imagined it. All she could see was where she was, but God was writing a bigger story. Listen, someone here is considering or has already given up right before you are on the cusp of breakthrough in a relationship. And I want to ask you, don't give up. God is writing a bigger story in your life than the one that you see right now. Do you believe it? Can you believe it? Don't give up. Let God keep writing. He is the God of redemption. He's writing a redemption story in your life. He takes the broken pieces, the things that the world would say, well, can't put that back together. But God can. The question is, can we believe and stand in the faithfulness of God? Can we be a people who are faithful in our relationships because great is his faithfulness to us? Why do we love one another this way? Because he first loved us. It is the love of Jesus Christ himself that compels us to have this kind of love and to have these kind of relationships with one another and to be willing to say, you know what? I'm not just going to start a relationship, but I'm going to finish it. I'm going to see it through. I'm going to finish strong. I want to help us do this today. We're going to end just a little bit differently today than we normally do. I want to give us all an opportunity to make a commitment, and for some of us, to make a recommitment. And I'd like to start with our married couples. I want to invite our married couples today to recommit your vows to one another. And to do that, I want to invite my wife, Alicia, to come on up. Would you guys welcome Alicia to the stage? She loves this. No, she doesn't. But she was willing to do it for me. Here's what we would like to do. We want to give, in just a moment, all of our married couples an opportunity to stand, and we're going to lead you in a recommitment of your vows. Now, if you're single, you're dating, you're engaged, you're like, well, what do I do? Well, you do what you would do at a wedding. You cheer them on. And some of you, you really wish that your spouse was here. Maybe they've passed on. Maybe they're not a believer and they're not here today. Maybe you're worshiping online with us. We want to give everyone an opportunity to recommit. So if your spouse is not here, maybe what you want to do, take out your phone and record yourself making these vows, making this commitment, recommitment to them. Or maybe you want to go back and maybe watch this part of the service over again so that you can recommit together at a later time. But right now, I'd like to invite all of our married couples, if you would stand, and let's recommit our vows to one another. Yeah, you can cheer for that. All right, this is step number one. Stop looking up here and look at them. And men, I'm going to lead you first, and then Alicia will lead the ladies. So men, will you repeat after me? I take you all over again to be my wife. For better, for worse. For richer, for poorer. In sickness and in health. Till death do us part. All right, now Alicia's going to lead the ladies.
I take you all over again to be my husband. For better, for worse. For richer, for poorer. In sickness and in health. Till death do us part.
You can give them a hug. It's even biblical. You can give them a kiss if you want to. I know it's church, but Romans 16:16 says, greet one another with a holy kiss, so it's good. I want to invite everyone to stand now. This series has been about more than just marriage. It's whether you're single, dating, engaged. God has a game plan for the relationships in your life, so we want to make a commitment together. This won't be a repeat after me. We're just going to say this together. If you're comfortable and if you mean it, then I want to invite you to just declare this today. Let's say this together. This year, with God's help, I will choose God's game plan for my relationships. I will choose my friends wisely. I will choose we over me. I will choose the right people to help me become the right person. And I would choose to play the long game. Come on, give it up for each other, making that kind of declaration. Thank you. I want to invite you to be seated for just a moment because there is one more commitment. And this commitment is the most important commitment and the most important decision that anyone will ever make in their lifetime. And that is the decision to say yes to Jesus. The only reason we can talk about covenant love, the only reason that we even have the power to live like this is because of the Jesus within us. So if you've never surrendered to Jesus, if you've never said yes to him, then you don't currently have that power. It's through a relationship with him that we can have this kind of relationship with each other. And we are compelled by the love of Jesus Christ, compelled by him to love one another. We love because he first loved us. Think about the love that Jesus modeled for us. He stayed when it would have been easier to walk away. In that moment in the garden, so many moments, he could have just walked away at any point, but he didn't. Because of the joy set before him, he endured the cross for me and for you. And he gave. He gave when he was getting nothing back. Romans 5:8 tells us that while we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. And Jesus trusted his Father. He trusted when the future was unclear. As he knelt in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he said, "Not my will, but yours be done." He trusted his Father. And because of that love, that's why we love one another. Outside of that, outside of the cross, this kind of love, it really doesn't make a lot of sense. But we let the cross be our reality. As we follow Jesus, we take up our cross, denying ourselves to follow him. So if you've never made that decision, I'm so excited for you today because today is your day. You've sensed it. God has been drawing you to him. And so we're going to pray together. All of us are going to pray together. Repeat after me. And then after that, if today is your day, you're making that decision for the first time, or you're returning to him, making that decision the first time in a long time, then we want to invite you to stand, to declare your faith in Jesus, to be bold and courageous. We want to cheer you on. All of heaven is already cheering. Jesus has never given up on you, and he never will. Let's pray to him. Jesus, I am not perfect, for I have sinned, but I believe in you. Save me, change me, forgive me. I give you my life. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen.